Welcome to the Carol Reidberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining me today. Today is one of the shows that I do at the end of every month, if possible. Sometimes we have to back it up to the third week, but it's my Conversations with Carol show. And what that means is that I really don't have a specific topic that I'm going to be talking about, but what I'm going to be doing is taking your calls and as many calls as I can within the hour of my show. So if you have a question for me about your health, or you have a question about a topic that we'd just like an answer using my intuition, please, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is actually good in the United States, Canada, and also for international callers. The only difference is, of course, you've got to dial in your international calling code. So what I'm going to be doing is just really just talking about, things that you want to talk about. One of the things I want to just start with is my lines are beginning to light up and everything. So come on, get on the phone. Let's do this. Is that I'm asked all the time about being a medical intuitive and exactly what does that mean? And how does that differentiate me from really other intuitives? And it isn't better than or less than. It's just that the focus of my intuition and my work that I do around the intuitive part is I've really focused my intuition and combined that with the study of physiology and anatomy and understanding illnesses and then learning just basically through being self-taught. How do I use that intuition to access the energy body in a way that I can read that information? Because I died in 1981 and came back, my eyesight has literally been changed. When I'm in front of someone or they're in front of me, what I do is I actually look at their aura, and that's that light that we have around us, very dynamic, always changing. And those changing lights and those colors and the depletions where I will see areas that the aura is really close to the body, or the areas where I find protrusions where the aura is really extended from that part of the body, kind of like a bump, or where there's blockage where I can see aura and then a gap and then aura. And so what I do as a medical intuitive is I focus this intuition basically on the health and well-being of the body. Body consists of cells. It consists of organs and glands. It consists of the psychological components that are at the root of the illnesses and tensions and a lot of the life crises we have. All of that information is just right there in the aura. And as a medical intuitive, I read and look for all those different signs. And as I've developed the ability to connect the dots, and I really consider myself like a puzzle master, then I'm able to go in, connect these dots, and then be able to give a holistic perspective of what's happening in the body besides just the body. And so as a puzzle master, the aura will show me where there's blockages, as I said. But then what it'll do is it'll tell me maybe there's an emotion that's stuck somewhere in an organ or a gland energetically and charged with an emotional charge. And maybe there's a belief that you have about yourself or about your life or something that you're capable or not capable of achieving. The aura also tells me on different levels whether a person truly believes they can heal. And that isn't said with judgment, but many times the body hurts and we desire to heal. And then we'll do the foods, the exercise, the medication, the alternative choices. We will go in and sleep better, do all the different things that we need. Maybe we even go in and look at patterns of behavior. But the area that I find is so difficult for people to really connect with, to really find out sometimes the real root cause of illness itself really is at that emotional level. And truthfully, male and female, we're conditioned to suppress our emotions. And if you can think of tension or illness as creating a disconnect between the soul, the body, from an emotional standpoint, and you can find those emotions, then you have free will to be able to look at those emotions, look at the experiences behind it, the beliefs that have been formed from them, and then you can look at healing on a larger perspective, a holistic perspective. So when I talk to people about being a medical intuitive, I'm really like a radiologist. My job is to give people a bigger picture, a complete picture, a comprehensive picture of what's happening in their physical body. So then they can choose to participate at whatever level they would desire. Some people will just jump right in and say, you know, I'm just going to go emotionally hunting like a treasure hunt. I want to find out what they are. I want to look at the experiences, and then I want to find the tools, Carol, to be able to release the emotions. Other people want to stay at a physical level, tackle it there, and then once they get comfortable in their skin, then what they'll do is then they'll look at the other components. So when we really think of any kind of breakdown in the body, mild to severe to even life-threatening, in order to truly heal, is that we can start anywhere. I mean, you can tackle your thoughts. We know that if you change your thoughts, you change your reality. You can tackle it physically. You can tackle it from an emotional standpoint. Or frankly, you can even tackle it from working with the energy body through chakra balancing and through using toning or tuning forks or flower essence or essential oils. There's so many vibrational gifts that we have that we can call upon to be able to deal at that energetic level. And also, you know, it's kind of like if you bump your elbow, the best thing that you can do is when you feel like you're drained and you can find a part of the body that doesn't seem to be flowing energy, you can rub it and touch it. The skin is the visual portrayal, the actual part of us that is our soul. It loves to be touched. It loves to be rubbed. It loves to be caressed. And it's very, very important for us to give ourselves that opportunity to really connect with our soul again. So from my standpoint as a medical intuitive, the healing can happen at any level that you choose, as long as you choose to participate, and as long as you don't go to someone else and say, fix me, then what you'll do in healing is you'll actually restore your body, your mind, your emotions, your energy in a holistic way, to make it better than it was before the breakdown, and then as a result, true healing happens. So that's funny. I have a book by that name, Healing Happens With Your Help. So anyway, I just wanted to share that because I've been asked quite a bit lately about, you know, what do I see and how does it work? And so I thought it might be helpful. But this is a Conversations with Carol Day, so let's jump on in. Hi, Michelle from Colorado Springs. How are you, sweetie?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Carol.
Can you hear me now? Sounds like.
Can you hear me?
Hi, hon.
Yeah, okay. Hey. Can you hear me, Carol?
I can. How can I help
okay.
you?
Oh, good, good. Thank you, thank you. I've been, I work at a couple of physical jobs during the day, and one of my jobs is very repetitive motion, and I've been to see a chiropractor several times for my neck and my shoulders and my spine. However, just recently I've had some numbness in the hands, and when I lie down at night, I have dizziness in the back of my head. And I was just wondering what you might see in there, or if you think the chiropractic care is working for me, or if there's something else I can do to help relieve some of the stress and the anxiety and everything that's going on with me.
Oh, yes. You know, it's very interesting. Once you start to set up those patterns in your thinking, is that when you lay down, eventually you're going to expect that you're going to get the dizziness, and it's kind of an insidious process. Yes, the chiropractor is helping. There are a couple of things, though, that I would also encourage you to consider. Craniosacral work. You might want to look at acupressure. You might want to look at acupuncture. You might want to look at Rolfing. You might want to look at the Alexander technique. All of those are techniques for the Rolfing and the Alexander. You might even want to look at Bowen, B-O-W-E-N, therapy. All of those really work at not only a cellular level, but with Rolfing and Alexander technique in particular, they really retrain the spine, how to line itself up. They're real powerful structural changes. So as I've been talking to you, sweetie, there's some things that I want to go in. A couple of things. The numbness that you're experiencing has to do with the repetitiveness, but what it has to do is it has to do with the compression on the brachial plexus. We have five plexus. I refer to them as junction boxes. That's the easiest way to see them, or circuit breakers, another way to say it. And what you have is you have your nerves coming down your spinal cord, cord. They hit these junction boxes, and then the nerves separate that are supposed to animate and move that part of the body. Now, we have major trunk nerves, and then we also have peripheral nerves. So when I go in, and the brachial plexus is about an inch and a half down from where your neck and shoulders come together. And in that area, the vertebrae, and I'll go in, I had to go back in because I've got another spot. So we have cervical plexus 4 above, the plexus 5 and 6 below, and 4 above is twisted to the right, 5 below the plexus is twisted to the left. In fact, it feels like your left hip is a little bit higher than your right hip right at the moment.
And then
6 is turned back toward the right. And so what your spine, your vertebrae are doing is your vertebrae are like calibrating themselves to be able to keep your spine as straight as possible from the standpoint that it doesn't put any pressure on the disc or put pressure in this brachial plexus area to the point where the nerves don't become compressed. When you sleep a certain way and with your head is really important in the placement of your head. Your pillow shouldn't be too flat. It shouldn't be too high. There's a nice happy medium. Your chiropractor could probably help you with finding where the right curve would be in that neck area. Part of the dizziness is that with this torquing calibration that I have going on in the spine, the neck itself from the atlas, the cervical vertebrae 1, coming down where you get that curve in the neck and then it starts to bow and protrude out at the shoulders. If you put any pressure above the atlas, cervical vertebrae 1, what's going to happen is that pressure is what's causing your dizziness, sweetie.
Okay. So can I do any self? I'm a massage therapist too, and I do a lot of self massage. Can I do anything to help relieve that before I can get to see the chiropractor?
Absolutely, you can. So what you'll want to work is you want to work on trapezius right at the base of the neck, kind of over that the cervical vertebrae I'm talking about. You'll want to work there, but you want to go around to the front, kind of in the clavicle area, and those two little mastoid muscles that runs up on either side of the neck. That's where you would be best to massage. You might want to use some essential oil, some homeopathic ointments such as Tramiel. You might want to do something from managing the inflammation, because those little mastoid muscles that are attached to each side of the clavicle, those muscles themselves are holding your neck in place, because they're concerned that if your neck, you know, isn't held almost rigid, then what's going to happen is that you're going to turn and it might even pinch a nerve. And so that's what those two muscles are doing. You can do that. The other thing that you can do is that you could work down in the sacrum part of the spine, actually start at sacrum vertebrae 1, and then, you know, where it fuses as it gets toward the coccyx, your tailbone coccyx is tucked under. So
yeah,
I'll tell you.
Broken. I think I broke that years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. So I'll give you a visual for you to go in and look at where you need to do some massage work. The neck itself, as we come from the bottom of the brain stem, doesn't have the natural curve. It's more straight. You have the bowing that occurs, kind of that protrusion in the spine as it's in the shoulder area, entering the shoulder blades. But what is occurring is that when it hits the lumbar, you've got too much of a lumbar where it's actually compressing it in toward the front of your belly. And then what it's doing is it's pushing your bottom out. So what you want to do is go in, because you understand the structure of the body and all the muscle structure from the training that you've had. What you would like to do is you can either start at the bottom or you can start at the top. And if you can release the tension in these little mastoid muscles, and they, you know, they're just almost pencil in size, but they can be so tight they, our jaws won't be able to work as well, and they can put pressure on the occiput area and so forth. If you can remove the tension there or remove the tension in the tailbone sacrum part of your spine, your sacroiliac joint will start to loosen. Your ankles will start to loosen. Your pivot point in the thoracic spine will loosen. And then that brachial plexus, the muscles that are holding them down, won't put compression on the brachial plexus, those trunk nerves that are causing the numbness and so forth. And then you won't have the dizziness. But any pressure that's going to be above the atlas in that area, kind of, you know, when that we hit that kind of that little indentation in the back of our head, yes. Just a little bit above that, any pressure at all, sweetie, is going to make you dizzy.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was wondering. Yeah, because it's only happened in like the last week where the whole dizziness started, and I'm like, okay, now what do I do?
Yeah. So again. It's something has changed in your life in the last 10 days where for some reason when I touch you energetically, it feels like you're something is just almost like you're having to carry almost too much weight on your shoulders, too much burden, honey. And it's
that's
just like
exactly what it is. Yes, it's exactly. I have a good friend of mine who just moved in with me, and he's struggling and he's trying to get back on his feet, and I feel like I'm carrying his burden.
Yeah,
for sure.
And you know, the gift of who you are is that you're capable of doing that because of how you're of service to other people. But when you go in, and this is for all listeners and Carol included, when you go in and that responsibility moves from being of service to someone where something inside of us or something that's said or done is that it becomes now our burden to carry it. Now we're of servant. Now we're dancing. We can't walk, move forward. If he's feeling stuck, you're feeling stuck, that empathic human nature part of who we are, whether you're an empath or not, steps in. And then you feel as frozen as they do. You get into an enabling role versus being of service. And it's just a delicate dance. But the spine really is what reflects that kind of dance. And then a gift from your childhood is self-rejection. And you get disappointed in yourself.
Absolutely.
And in that left shoulder that is carrying a lot of weight that's caused the right shoulder to drop, the left hip to come up, is you're just disappointed you can't do more. You know, but honest to goodness, hon, I'm touching you. And, I mean, you know, you've given him the shirt off your back. That's a metaphor. You've opened up your house to be able to create a safe haven. You've gone in and you've got to manage his energy, your energy, other people's energy, and everything. So it's like, I don't know what more you can do other than to step aside and then just, you know, find some time where you can just have your alone time. It's really important to you. Doesn't mean you don't care. It's just very, very important to you. So all of this feels like it's really, you know, kind of come to a head. Ha ha ha, joke. I love it when universe uses a sense of humor and everything. It's come to head that we must see differently and do differently and act differently and everything. So those are some things you can do. When it gets to the point, honey, that you are having difficulties, if you're not going to get any kind of reprieve or any kind of comfortableness in your skin with any of the remedies that feels like you're trying to use, whether you're using a homeopathic cream or essential oils or whatever else you can do, then what I would encourage you to do is to go and just bite the bullet and do some Aleve or do some Tylenol or do something so you can quell the inflammation. And when you can do that, then what will happen is those muscles will start to relax, but your immune system's reading this like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. So, right. You know, if you have to, just bite the bullet per se, not literally, and then just do what you need to give yourself a reprieve.
So should I just allow him to just do his own stuff now and just me kind of step aside and take care of me now that
yes.
He's kind of start to get back on his own path and
yes and no.
Allow him to okay.
Sorry. So typical
no, I wanted
typical
I wanted your
of Carol Reitberger. Okay. Absolutely. Step aside. Let him do what he needs to do. When he gets into the place where he's having a pity party, acknowledge it. That's very important. It's important for us to feel free enough to have those pity parties. But it's also very important for us to feel that someone understands us when we're in the pity parties and still loves us and everything. But there are some boundaries or guidelines, or I'm going to go back to boundaries, that needs to be set as far as space, as far as kind of comfort and rules of the house and everything, because otherwise you're not going to find any space unless you go into your closet and basically crawl underneath your clothes. And there's a tremendous neediness there, and I understand that, and great love that I send to him. But, you know, take it to your room, come out. If you want to have a pity party, let's last for 30 seconds and go back to your room. But it is important for you to have your space. Do you have a cat?
I have a cat. Yes, I do. Yeah. Oh, he's my little buddy.
Yep. Watch your cat. I'll tell you, all of a sudden this cat came in and this cat goes, "You need to fix my mom." And it's like, okay, I think I did. And it says, like, no. You need to tell mom that I need my space like she needs her space. So,
and he does. He's so funny. Yeah, he is funny about that.
Yeah, so when you and he are hanging out and all of a sudden he runs away, whoop, there's an omen there, honey.
Well, that's good to know. That's good because I've seen him do things like that, and it's so funny how you picked up on that, because I could sense his energy when we were talking.
Funny. That was very good. You know, like all animals, I don't do animal communication. There's other people who are extremely skilled in that. But boy, one of the things I've learned about animals is that we think we go to an animal communicator or whatever to fix them, and the first thing they say is, "Would you fix my human, please?" Anyway, very good, sweetie. Try those things. I think that it will help you. If you want to even explore craniosacral, for some reason, there's multiple facets to that. One is it might be a modality that you actually would like to incorporate in the work that you're doing, because your work is moving.
I've been thinking about that, yes.
Yeah, your work is moved really from relieving the aches and the pains of the body to connecting with the soul, and craniosacral work is a beautiful, beautiful tool for that. So anyway, well, light and love, I hope that helps you a lot.
It helps me a great deal. Thank you so much, Carol, for all your help.
My pleasure. All right, let's jump in. You too, hun. Let's jump in. Let's go ahead and try to get one more in. Hi, Becky from Illinois. How are you, hun?
Hi, Carol.
How can I help you?
Carol, I have a question. I've kind of been battling this with most of my life. I'm someone who can't really handle confrontation, and, you know, things happen within my body. And it just feels like my body starts to, like a big surge goes through my body, and I react two ways. Either I cry or I get extremely angry. Mm-hmm. What can I do to calm my body down during confrontation?
Well, the first thing is I cannot not tell you to cry or get angry, because both of those are relief valves, so you don't go in and hold and suppress those emotions inside the way that you have a lot of your life. And no judgment on that, sweetie. All of us do. It's part of our conditioning. So when you reach a place where you have to blow or vent steam, whatever you want to call it, you are going to cry and you're going to get angry. Crying is a way for us to be able to start to remove the emotional charge. And then anger is letting us know how long we've invested the suppression of what we're feeling or what we want to say. So anger is very, very valuable. Learning to express anger constructively what I mean by that is I'm not even worried about who you vent your anger at. It's to vent your anger constructively for you. So the minute you do, you don't feel bad. And so that is something that is a process. It's like deciding that anger has a place, that anger has a time, and then how can you express that anger to where you're not compromising yourself? You know, you've reached this glorious age, and I don't know what that chronological age is. It didn't seem to be important. But you've reached this age that something inside said, I'm just not going to do this anymore. And so now that voice has started to come up, then what it is it's going to have to be learning how to, again, work with this new found voice, this new process of not wanting to suppress and so forth, and doing it in a way that's constructive for you. One of the things that I would suggest, Becky, is that you buy yourself a journal, make it as pretty as it possibly can. I don't care if it's got sparkles, rhinestones, pretty pictures, whatever. Buy yourself a very, very special pen that you like, that you will want to touch. And anytime, honey, you start to experience anger, whether it's with any one or by yourself based on something that was done, I would like you to title the first page Anger Journal, and then I would like you to put your name. And then what you want to do is you want to, anytime you experience any degree of anger or you've expressed anger and you need to process it, go to your journal and just write. Putting what we feel emotionally inside into words has great value. If it's a journal that we really are intrigued by, we want to touch, and a pen, it'll be easier for us to do that. One of the things, there's a couple things, sweetie, when I go into your body, anytime you get angry or you cry, you immediately believe that somehow you're disempowering yourself. I would like to offer a different perception. Based on where you've been and how you've been conditioned, when you express either through tears or through anger, you aren't disempowering yourself. You're touching yourself to find out where your true power is. And again, if there's constructive ways to do it, you might want to buy a box of crayons or colored pencils and create mandalas. There are circles. You can take a salad plate, if you need a big one, a dinner plate. Put a circle on a piece of paper and find some way constructively to just let your anger come through in a picture. And then on the outside of the mandala, the circle, write words. Both of the things that I'm talking about with the anger journal and then also with the mandala is a therapy that really allows us to do emotional work at a way that we don't have to go in and really eat it ourselves. That's the metaphor for your stomach, hun. The longer they stay suppressed, the more they eat at you. The longer they eat at you, the more nervous your stomach becomes. The more nervous your stomach becomes, the more irritable you become, the more irritable your stomach becomes. Some of the issues that you deal with in your stomach feels like it has a lot of symptomology of irritable bowel syndrome. And so what you want to do is find constructive ways to not eat at yourself, not become irritated with yourself. You might want to just get yourself a mirror and sit in front of it and practice no, 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 de nada, ain't gonna happen. And I say that with love because I do know that the word no is one of the hardest words for you to be able to voice. And if you could practice it in a way that it was comfortable to you, in a situation where it wasn't charged with the emotion of anger, then what it would do is it would allow you to find ways, again, constructively to change the vibration of your voice and so forth.
Yeah, if it doesn't come through my stomach, I have, like, extreme anxiety leading up to the confrontation. And
absolutely.
I feel a huge knot up on my, like, shoulder blade area on my left side of my chest. And sometimes it takes weeks for it to go away.
Right. Well, that I have to say with love is part of the conditioning from your childhood.
Okay.
You've never fit. You never will fit. You're very loving. You're very open. You wear your heart on your shirt sleeve, but you also suppress your emotions. I understand why. If you wanted to, you could work with a therapist and you could look at tools such as EMDR. You could look at hypnotherapy. You could go in and look at the fear that you have. The fear actually started when you were in the womb. It was supported from birth to age 5, and that was being rejected. And in that process, that's what you're working with right now in your life. And the only thing I can share with you are tools to be able to not self-reject. That's literally what's happening. But when I go into the womb where you were, where your mother was, where the situation in the family dynamics, where your mother was with her parents and so forth. She has always struggled in her life, sweetie, to be able to hang on to the things that she truly, truly loves and cares about. You were gifted with that fear.
Okay,
and
thank you.
I can share with you, it was your mom's, and now you can find constructive ways to work with it. When I share those things, honey, it isn't to, you know, speak poorly of parents or anything. My gosh, they do the best they can under the circumstances. But I can tell you with great love, Becky, this is not yours to deal with, sweetie. It's a gift for you to be able to move beyond it. It truly is. So I hope that helps, but that knot is you becoming disempowered, and it's like, oh my gosh. So that's what it is, honey.
Okay, thank you so much.
You are most welcome. Light and love to you. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. I'll be right back, and then I've got more callers. I'm just going to stay on the line answering your calls. Thanks for joining me.
To learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness. You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me today, the today's show is Conversations with Carol. And what that means is I'm going to be taking your calls and answering your questions, sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you do have a call question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That's what the show's all about. Taking your calls and answering your questions. What I would like to do is to remind you that I've just posted my October teleclass, which is on influenza. And I thought what a perfect time to be covering that topic, because flu season actually officially starts November, which we're into, and December. And so what I have is, if you go to my website, www.reitberger.com, then you can go and click on the icon influenza. You will not be able to miss it on my homepage. The icon that we chose with a picture is, I mean, we all can relate. And then what you can do is you can do a try before you buy, and you can listen to the audio download of the teleclass itself. And then that's $11.95 if you like it. And then if you want, you can actually do a printable PDF on influenza. I talk about not only the clinical perspective, a general description. I also go in and look at it from a psychological standpoint, going in, looking at it energetically, chakras, personality, and pages of alternative choices that you can try and use to be able to minimize the impact that it has, kind of that misery that goes along with it, shorten the cycle, and actually avoid complications that are associated with the flu. In this particular teleclass, I talk about not only seasonal flu, but swine flu, and then also I talk about avian flu. And a little bit of bonus of something that I did in this teleclass is I actually tied the consciousness that we were in globally – in 1918 with the Spanish flu and where we are now and why we're seeing this resurgence of swine flu and how it mutates. So I think you might find it interesting. Again, try before you buy either of those. If you're interested, you just click on the purchase, pay through PayPal. You receive a download link and voila, it is yours. You can download it to an iPod. You can keep it on your computer, burn it to a CD, or you can print it out and put it in a binder and be able to create just a glossary of terms and references for different illnesses. I actually have 17 that I've used my medical intuitive skills and abilities over the course of the almost 30 years I've been doing this to be able to bring it forward in a way that you can look at these illnesses from a holistic perspective. So again, that the downloads are available on www.ritberger.com. All right. Oh, my goodness, Mr. Billy, we just lost Rose, didn't we, sweetie? All right. So let me go ahead and, Rose, if you're out there, honey, it's 877-230-3062. Please call me back, and I'll be sure to get you on as you were on the line for a while. All right. Let's jump in. Hi, Joe from Virginia. How are you, honey? How can I help you?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Okay. I'm calling because I want to get your insight on what can possibly be going on with my digestive tract. I had spoken with you last year concerning a major, major weight loss.
Yes.
I've gone down to 89 pounds last year, and now, this year, I'm now down 4 pounds, even less. The thing is, the nausea, the stomach discomfort, it's still somewhat there. Not as bad, though, but the weight loss is very concerning. In addition, I have hair loss and thinning, increase in acne, and I noticed that my handwriting has become even sloppier since all of this has begun, and a twitching sensation of the abdominal area. And I've seen 3 GI specialists. They've run tests on me, and they couldn't find anything that can confirm what is going on with me. I even saw an endocrinologist to find out if I had hyperthyroidism, and everything checked out as being normal. So I just wanted to get your insight.
Interesting, interesting. All right. Did the endocrinologist run an ACTH test where he tested all of your endocrine glands?
He did a cortisone test.
Okay.
Test for cortisol, I think.
Okay.
But it came out negative. Everything that he tested for came out negative.
Yeah, yep. Okay, so let's... So your body just kind of opened up and let me start doing some mapping with it. Thank you. Excuse me, all my listeners. Don't do that very often, connecting the dots. Mm-hmm. Going in, Joe, the first thing is while the thyroid is on the low side, even though it's within the range, the thyroid is part of the issue. The other part of the issue is the pancreas and the way that it's working with insulin. Then I jump back up to the pituitary gland and the way that it's running the entire endocrine system. And then I jump to the hypothalamus that is also part of the dynamics of the serotonin. So just map that way. It started at the thyroid, and I understand where the endocrinologist is because you're not off the scale in any of the areas. That's what's so perplexing, I'm sure, to them.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that would be done from a thyroid standpoint, but one of the things that you might want to look at doing in order to really work with this is let's go down to the second chakra. Let's go down to the pancreas.
Okay.
The thyroid is part of the oxidation of glucose. That's what's tied to the metabolism itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the metabolism itself feels sluggish. As a result, the pancreas doesn't feel like it's secreting the amount of insulin that is needed based on the food that you are putting in your body. As a result, you're not getting the energy from the food that you're putting in the body, and it's basically being removed. That can be part of the dynamics of the cells not getting the energy they need in order to be able to burn the glucose. Insulin binds to glucose to allow the cells to be able to absorb the glucose, to be able to metabolize the glucose with the oxygenation of the glucose, the insulin, the dynamics. The thyroid is also part of the oxygenation of the body itself. So the two areas that are truly not talking to each other, and I'll see if I can become even finer in my interpretation of that and refining it. The two different glands that aren't talking are the pancreas and the thyroid. The hair loss is the thyroid. Okay. The skin changes is the thyroid. Mm-hmm. The twitching that you're experiencing is the loss of muscle mass, and the loss of muscle mass is the weight issue that you're experiencing. And when we lose muscle mass, the little peripheral nerves that we have within the muscles themselves, when we lose it, those nerves become compressed, and that can cause weakness. It can cause an atrophy of not only the muscle, but also of the nerve itself, and it can be responsible for twitching.
And as far as the acne, what can be causing that?
The acne is your immune system, and I'll connect the dots for that. The acne is your immune system is trying to, through its inflammatory response, it is trying to get rid of the toxins, the buildup in your body from the unused glucose, the waste that remains in the body, even though it's not weight that remains in the body. And what the immune system does is it sees this waste as almost an allergen or a pathogen. It attacks it. When it attacks it, it's got to either come out through the urine, through the stool, through the breath, or it comes out through the pores of the skin. Mm-hmm. So I may have found it. Did the endocrinologist, I understand why he checked for cortisol, because of the way your body isn't utilizing even what you're putting in your mouth. Did he run, did he check your immune system?
In what sense? Like anything in particular?
Anything in particular. Did he include spleen, pineal, and the ACTH? I know he was looking for the cortisol. I'm picking up an autoimmune disorder, sweetie.
Oh, really?
And my sense is if we could go in and look at the immune system itself, and why is the immune system creating this exaggerated inflammatory reaction that could be impacting the metabolism of and the activity of the thyroid and the pancreas. And then I go to the pituitary, which is the master gland. The hypothalamus is around serotonin neurotransmitters, dopamine. It ties and talks to the basal ganglia. It talks to the pituitary. It talks to the pineal gland. Do you have health insurance?
Say again, please?
Do you have health insurance?
Well, you know, it's funny how you bring that up because I just quit my job because there was going to be a layoff, which was, well, it was crazy at my workplace, and I was offered a position in a neighboring state. So at the moment, I'm covered through insurance until the end of November.
Okay. What I would ask you to do, and I'm not picking up that it's life-threatening or anything, that there's anything that is major, so it's not my intention to create concern. But when I was running through your body, my sense is that if you went and worked with a rheumatologist, and the only reason I'm sending you to a rheumatologist is because they specialize in autoimmune disorders. That can be anywhere from an immune system that is reading the foods we put in our mouth as a pathogen or an allergen that could be creating something. Sometimes what will occur is the immune system forgets what it's supposed to do. When it gets this inflammatory response, it can actually attack the nerves. It can attack the muscles. My sense is the weight loss is muscle mass. And so what I would encourage you to do is just go talk to a rheumatologist and then find out, kind of explain what's going on and see where it goes from there.
Okay. So it's nothing life-threatening?
No, no, it is not. But there is something when I started going in thyroid and I went to pancreas and then I mapped back up to the pituitary and then I went to the hypothalamus and then I went to the pineal gland. Then I saw where the endocrinologist was looking for cortisol. He's looking for stressors. He's looking for a buildup of cortisol that would cause the immune system to immediately go in and deem everything as World War III, and it's being overreactive. So in the rheumatologist, in working with someone, I'm going to say a different way, working with someone that specializes in the immune system, then what they'll be able to do is they will run a series of blood tests to find out where your enzymes are in your muscles, where your cytokines are, where your creatines are. And what they'll do is they'll be able to give you a picture of what is needed and then possibly medication, or you may not choose to use that, but at least you will have a basis, a root, kind of a foundation of where to start. The job that you left, good girl, wow, gold stars for you. I know that it was, I took a deep breath for you, but you know what? You had to get out of there. It was just pounding you down. That's the metaphor that I pick up with you.
Yeah.
And so from that standpoint, that's the first step in the healing. That'll help you get out of the stress, that fight or flight, and that will help start to support the immune system. You could also go in and start looking at foods that you can eat for immune system support. You could go in and you could look at, work with a homeopath, work with a chiropractor, work with a naturopath, someone that could put you on some immune support different supplements that would be able to help you. You seem to really vibrationally work very well with flower essence. You have a lot of vibrational healing about you. You could do essential oils. You could look at those. But it's like when I went in and I had to connect these dots. It's like, oh, we just need to go figure out what's going on with the immune system. And let's focus on the immune system. If we focus on that, then other things will start to turn themselves around. It'll remember what it's supposed to do. Thyroid will remember what it's supposed to do, and so forth. The immune system, when it becomes out of balance, can throw the thyroid, the pancreas, all these other things off. Even though you don't have a problem, what it can do is it can throw it off. And the reason he checked your thyroid for the hyper and then hypo is he was checking for Hashimoto's disorder or Hashimoto's disease.
Right.
And the good news is you don't have that. But if he was checking for that, we need to go back to the immune system. And the only reason I sent you to the other part is use your health insurance while you have it. Run your tests so they don't cost you a lot of money. Find out what your baseline is, and then you can figure out where to go from here, sweetie.
Okay. So the nausea and abdominal discomfort, is it related to this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It is.
Okay, absolutely.
I'm seeing a shamanic practitioner. Is she good? Is she someone that I should stick with?
Yes, she is good. However, there's a little bit of question, not only just because you asked me, that's very obvious, mm-hmm. but there's something between the two of you and the direction you believe you need to go for healing and the direction that she thinks you know that she wants you to go for healing. I have a little bit of tension in the field. No harm. She's a wonderful, exquisite practice, but until you can resolve whether she really is worth the time and the energy and the investment, probably aren't going to get exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah, I do sense something.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Again, she's extremely skilled. It's just, it's almost as though when I touch you, you already know how to do this. We just need to find where in the body to direct your energies. This isn't soul fragmentation that you're working with. It's not where you have to do a soul retrieval. It isn't where you have to go in, and drumming would help to get you vibrationally in alignment. But this isn't tied to shamanism.
Okay. Yeah, because that was the next step, to do the soul retrieval, but you don't feel that that's the root.
Nope. That's, for her, it works. That's who she is. She's exquisite. Mm-hmm. But for you, I have this little thing in the, why? Mm-hmm. Why? What am I going to get out of it?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a soul. I can tell you when I touch you, sweetie, I don't have a soul fragmentation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're kind of like icebergs in our life, and we experience things and parts of us just chip off. And it's part of the natural evolution of a soul from lifetime to lifetime. So again, what I would encourage you to do, talk to her and find out the purpose of the soul retrieval and how can it help you in the physical part. Ask for some, I mean, you go to a doctor and you ask some very straightforward, questions. Do the same thing.
Okay. Canada,
all right.
Parasites. Pardon? Canada and parasites. Canada and parasites. You don't sense that in my system. I'm trying to work on those two.
Yeah, you do have them, but right now at the moment as I'm talking to you, they're dormant.
Dormant. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you so very much.
My pleasure. Okay, Billy, I see that I've got 5 minutes until show wrap up. Mary, I want you, sweetie. Line one, let's go there.
Hi, Dr. Carol. How are you?
I'm fine, honey. I've only got a few minutes, so let's jump right in and go for it.
Okay, the last time I spoke with you was during your teleseminar, and when I came to the phone, you addressed me as doctor, and I was kind of shocked about that because I'm nowhere near being a doctor, and you mentioned something about I need to look at hypnotherapy from the dietitian's perspective.
Correct.
And I just wanted a little more information in regards to that.
All right. Very good. What you will want to do is you will want to explore transpersonal hypnotherapy versus clinical hypnotherapy. The process is very similar. Transpersonal hypnotherapy is a process where the body, mind, and soul are connected for the purpose of revealing what's going on behind something that's happening in our life, a behavior, a health, or so forth. And what it does is it creates the sacred space for the soul, the body, the mind to be able to dialogue and for all three to reveal where there's a disconnect or what needs to be done in order to put it back together. Also, in transpersonal hypnotherapy, it'll take you to the next level, which is past life regression, which is where your skills truly lie. It is something that you will want to explore. Transpersonal hypnotherapy was something that Edgar Cayce referred to many, many times in his readings. You have a tremendous connection with Cayce and his philosophy and the way that he did his work. That is the doctor metaphysician that I picked up in you. So what you will want to do is Google National Association of Transpersonal Hypnotherapy. You will find a very exquisite hypnotherapist, Dr. Alan Chips, C-H-I-P-S. He is in North Carolina. He has classes. He is well-versed. He is an exquisite script writer, especially in transpersonal hypnotherapy. And, sweetie, it'll give you what you're looking for.
Thank you so kindly. God
bless you,
and happy holidays to you.
And happy holidays to you. Well, I want to thank you. And I know Gail and Sandy, my apologies. North Carolina, how could that be? Both of you there. My apologies for not getting back to you. I am going to be having a replay over the Thanksgiving holidays. Please do join me back. Give me a call. Let me come back. I do remember your names and your energy. If you come back and see me on the radio, then I will be glad to answer your questions. Thank you, everyone, for letting me share the work and how exquisitely you open up to me. Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving. And I'll look forward to seeing you back on the radio. Light and love to you. Have a wonderful week.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.rideberger.com. That's www.rideberger.com. See you soon.